This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Connect with Prof. Dion Foster all the way from Amsterdam. Prof. Dion, I found this explanation of what exactly happened with all the details that were shared in Joshua chapter 3 and 4. For about 3 million people to walk for 3.2 kilometers, 37 meter high wall of water next to them. Maybe we've underestimated the crossing of the Jordan. Maybe we saw the kiddies' Bibles where they just walked across this little area with a little bit of water next to them. We didn't think it was so impressive, but wow, God really did incredible things to get his people to the promised land. Good morning.
Morning, Brad. Can you imagine the faith it must take to enter into that space? You know, 37 meters, goodness, I'd never actually considered just how high that is. Yeah, that really is something quite spectacular.
And I love the way determined God is to do what he needs to do, even if it goes against physics and the natural, just to do what he needs to do. Do we, just before we get into our conversation this morning, do we underestimate God's ability to do what he sets out to do? And that's probably why we want to sometimes step in and do his work for him, because we think he's not quite able and he's not doing it quite at the time we would like it to be.
Brad, so of course, that's absolutely true. You know, by our estimation, you know, a feat like that, we would say, wow, that is so absolutely remarkable. But of course, the reality is just the things that we regard as ordinary, the rising of the sun, the falling of rain,
yeah,
the birth of a child. Oh my goodness. I mean, these are miracles beyond description and imagination happening all around us every day. But of course, you know, there are those things that somehow seem you know, supernatural in a sense, more than natural. But yeah, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful? Barbara Brown Taylor wrote that beautiful book, Altars in the World. She said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were actually able to see the familiar with strange eyes? She says, we wouldn't be able to walk even 1 meter,
yeah,
without bumping our shins against something miraculous.
Oh, that's lovely. I like that.
Yeah, the altars in the world. No, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Brad, now this week I've been thinking a lot. You know, so I am very blessed, very, very grateful to have a life which is stable and comfortable, a life which for all accounts is incredibly, incredibly easy. Yesterday afternoon, I was part of a panel discussion here in the Netherlands with migrants around migration. The title of the panel discussion is "No One Is Illegal," and you know, we were talking about terminology. You know, the fact that you have, if you are like me, if you're white and you're highly educated, a highly skilled migrant, then you're called an expat. If you're a person from Africa or parts of Asia, then you're called a migrant. You know, some people who might not have the necessary documentation are called refugees. Of course, those who have had to flee, we had some Palestinian and Ukrainian persons with us there. They were called undocumented, sure, you know, so they'd arrived without documents. Mm. And, you know, we have all of these sort of different categories. And I was just struck again by the fact that, you know, for us as Christians, sometimes I think we overreach. We swing the pendulum too far in a particular direction. And, you know, we have to, I think, admit that for many of us as Christians, we've come to think that comfort, that opulence, that pleasure is a sign of blessing. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with being safe and secure. We should wish that for ourselves and our families and everyone. There's nothing wrong with being able to meet our needs and perhaps even to have a surplus so that we can bless and care for others. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think God desires that for all of us. But the one thing that did strike me is that I think somehow the kind of Christianity that I'm a part of and that perhaps some of our listeners are a part of, it denies the cross. You know, it tells us that the way to blessing is through in a sense these easy things. So I've been dwelling for a little while now in the Sermon on the Mount, and our last couple of weeks we've been touching on aspects of that. But yesterday I was reading again, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus says this. Listen to this. Oh my goodness. This we need to also highlight in our Bibles. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. But those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." And I was just struck yesterday, again by these wonderful sisters and brothers, these people who are loved by Christ and who love the Lord, who really, are living the life of the narrow gate. So in the room yesterday, there were people who had given up absolutely everything to try and find a better life for their children and for themselves. Some were political refugees and some were fleeing wars, some were migrants of other kinds. But also in the room were people like me, but better people than me, people who have easy lives, people who draw a salary and live in a beautiful home and are safe. But we're saying we don't want to get stuck in that. We don't want that to be our frame of reference. And they were there yesterday to say, we want to give sacrificially. We have been giving sacrificially. We're deliberately positioning ourselves with people who have need and seeing how we can help them to flourish and find peace. So, Brad, that just struck me again yesterday. Now, let me just mention one other thing. Obviously, what this means for all of us will be slightly different. And what I've really found in my life is to try and identify that aspect of my life which is most difficult to part with easily. Now, for some people, it will be their money. Thank goodness that's never been my problem. My goodness, if I have money, I give it away or spend it. So money's never been my issue.
Yeah.
For me, the issue has always been time. I have a relatively busy life and lots of people who would like to, have a little bit of time to check something, ask a question, students, journalists, these kinds of things. And I was struck on Sunday, I do this Lectio 365, and the little prayer is this. Listen to this. It says, "Lord, thank you for leading me by quiet waters and for feeding me at your table, for inviting me to dwell in your house. Would you please give me an opportunity this week to show true hospitality to others?" Yeah. I think that's the narrow gate for me. And to do it generously and joyfully without grumbling. Now, listen to this. It says, "Would you give me grace to embrace the interruptions as gifts from you? And help me to make space in my schedule, at my table, in my home, and in my heart for others." So, Brad, maybe my little encouragement to all of us today is to say, what is that thing for you that is your wide gate, the thing that you really enjoy? Cycling, running, fishing, watching TV, having a bit of money in the bank, your ego. What is that wide thing? Yeah. And how can you say, "Lord, I want you to narrow that. I want you to bring me to the place where I enter through the narrow gate so that I'm more reliant upon you and not that thing." And maybe one of the best ways to deal with that is to give away a little bit of the wideness, to share it with others so that you can live in that narrow space. So that's the word I'm sharing with myself, and maybe it means something to some others today as well.
I love that, Dion. We were talking earlier on this week around the treasures in heaven, and this seems like one of those instances here where you are prepared to acknowledge the narrow gate areas in your life, but to rather focus on. And we were quite taken. I think it was yesterday we spoke about Jesus' words where he said, the purse, where the purses have no holes, that's the place that you really want to be storing up your treasure. And I think comfort is one of those things that we so yearn for and work towards. Comfort is almost our goal at the end of the day. And you're challenging us here this morning to say, what is your actual goal? Is comfort your goal, or is sharing with others and making other people's lives better part of your goal? So this is a time for seeing what is actually the vision or the purpose of why I do what I do and what we do every day, going with our different places of work. Like, what is the true reason? To have more stuff, to be more comfortable, or to have more that can change the world around us? So the challenge is out there, Dion.
Yeah, Brad, just and you are absolutely right. And as you're speaking now, I'm just reminded of one other thing. This is the beginning of Black History Month in the United States,
Yes.
and it began, of course, with Rosa Parks, who wouldn't give up her seat on the bus. She was born on the 4th of February. But also during this week, there was the lunch counter sit-ins. A group of young people who went to a lunch counter and ordered food and were told because of their race that they had to move. And eventually by the end of this week, there were so many people in lunch counters, sitting in, eating meals, being jovial, being happy, that they'd reclaimed that space from a space of segregation and brokenness and hope to a place of joy and blessing. And I was just thinking about that, that little bit of courage to do the thing that's right, to say, loving God, I want to do what's right so that the space can be reclaimed for joy and for blessing. That really is a challenge for me.
That's the voice of Professor Dion Foster. He's a professor at Vrije Universiteit out there in Amsterdam. Cold morning for you that side?
Brad, it actually hasn't been bad, and we're starting to see the promises of spring. It's not quite light yet, but I can see a very, very gentle flicker of something that may become sunlight later in the
Oh, there you go. And we're wondering if we're
day.
going to survive the heat of February. So we've chalk and cheese as expect across the hemispheres. What a pleasure to spend time with you. And it's just as if you're sitting here in the studio with us, but you're actually on the other side of the world. We do love technology. Maybe
Yeah.
we mustn't ignore the miracle that's in that as well for us to be able to share the word all around the
Such
world
a
so
blessing.
easily. Thanks,
Such a
Dion.
blessing.
Have a
Thanks,
great day.
Brad. Bless you. Bye then.
Bye, Dion. Thanks, Dion. We've got our final traffic bulletin of the morning coming next.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.